Blog Talk Radio.
To the people and the Gentiles, Tommy Hart, the one the authorized version ascribes the name Lord God is Real, appears among us with great news. A former preacher of the church and author of the Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, Lord God would like to share what he has discovered during what is now a 39-year study of the Authorized Version Bible, also known as the King James Bible, coming from the Vatican. He comes to show Bible truths that have been hidden throughout Bible content. Lord God is Real decrypts all things kept silent and in secret inside the pages of the AVB, aka the KJV, all with a level-headed, easy-to-follow analysis unlike any other. His Excellency logically restructures the AVB's confusing text and separates the subject matter into two categories, truth and fiction. He also defines with clarity what is meant by the terms Lord, in all caps, Christ, God, many other titles, and who claims them now in this day. His Majesty concludes, the Authorized Version Bible, written in the year 1611, is primarily a law book, a history book, a legal document, and the first law between the Pope of Rome, the papacy, and the Gentiles. In other words, those who are classified as white people. Knowing the AVB, written during the conquest of Africa, Lord God exposes the many laws of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelations, which include the law of Passover, the law of God, and the law of the curse carried out on African black people worldwide. It is established the Vatican is a governmental body institution hiding in plain view under the cloak of religion. Lord God is here because the Vatican called for him in the pages of the AVB. So without further ado, it is with great enthusiasm I bring before you the host of the show. Please join me in a warm round of applause, the magnificent Lord God Israel.
Welcome to Lawmaster's Law of God broadcast. I'm your host, Lawmaster. I am the one, the word in the pages of the AVD has given the surname Israel and have given the two titles of Lord and God to. And putting those three things together, you have the Lord God Israel. This is the welcome. Some of you have heard the saying, know thyself. Do you know yourself? A part of knowing oneself is to have knowledge of one's past. How much do you know of your past? Many blacks take the Bible to be their holy book. Do you know what the Bible says to you? Do you know what it says about you and your people? Do you see yourself in the Bible? What does the Bible say about your faith? What does it say about your Christian faith? I will speak on that topic shortly. The title of this program is One Big All-Time Conspiracy, the title of this episode. Which title I will now speak on? I will answer the questions, who are the conspirators, what did they conspire, and who did they conspire against? Who are the conspirators? The conspirators are all nations of the Gentiles. The Gentiles now call themselves, many of them, white people. But their name of old is Gentiles. The conspirators are all the Gentiles from their political, religious, and social leaders on down. So in the conspiracy, there is a coming together of all the people, irregardless of their political, religious, or social affiliation. Herein, the conspirators are called the Gentiles. The term they outwardly call themselves during the time now in question. Now we know who the conspirators are, the Gentiles. Now I will reveal the conspiracy, the plan agreed on by the Gentiles. The Gentiles conspired against the black people. The Gentiles conspired to make war with the black people, defeat them militarily, conquer and subdue them. They conspired to bring the black people into subjection so that they might take possession of their land, their resources, and even their bodies. Now, did the Gentiles accomplish that purpose? History says they did. The Gentiles conspired to dehumanize the captured blacks and reduce them to the status of slaves. The Gentiles all agreed that they, the people, would be the keepers and wardens of the captured black people they called slaves. So the slaveholders were wardens, one who keeps prisoners. So rather than put the captured blacks all in a jail, confine them to jail, they confined them to the, what, homes, plantations, etc., of the slave masters. The slave masters or slaveholders were wardens of the captured. So really, the slaves didn't have anywhere to go. Wherever they went, they were imprisoned. Okay? Wherever they went, they were still imprisoned. They were confined and kept by the slave masters, the slaveholders, their wardens. The Gentiles conspired to scatter black people among the nations of the Gentiles. The Gentiles conspired to make merchandise of the black captives. That is to say, they viewed the black captives as things, things that are bought and sold. I want to turn to a passage here that gave the Gentiles the legal right or authority to buy and sell slaves. Things that are bought and sold. Revelation 18, starting with verse 12 through 14. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones and of pearls and fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet and all fine wood and all manner vessels of ivory and all manner vessels of most precious wood and of brass and iron and marble and cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil. And you all agree that these are things that are bought and sold, but I haven't finished. And fine flour and wheat and beef and sheep and horses and chariot, and slaves, and wait. There we go. There's that word, slaves. Slaves are found among things that are bought and sold, and souls of men. So that was 12 through 13, verses 12 through 13 of Revelation 18. The point of that is to show this right here, this passage I just read, is the law in a picture, a word picture law. This passage gave the Gentile the legal authority to buy and sell blacks as merchandise. I've told you before, the Bible is a law book. The Gentiles do not view the Bible as you black people view it. Okay? They haven't from the beginning. This gave them the legal right to buy and sell black people as merchandise. Black people were reduced to the status, to the level of merchandise. All right? On with the conspiracy. The Gentiles conspired to make the captives, the black captives, self-perpetuating by the process of forced and controlled mass reproduction of slave offspring, thus giving birth and a means of continuance to the international slave trade. Now, in that reading, there are several things that point out the Gentiles are conspiracies. They conspire to do, they conspire to scatter blacks, they conspire to make war with them. They conspire to conquer and subdue them and bring them into subjection. They conspire to dehumanize the captured black people. They conspire to make merchandise of the black captives. They conspire to make the captives self-perpetuating. Now, I ask, did the Gentiles do all they set out to do? Did they accomplish all the things that I read making up or constituting the conspiracy, the plan? Yes, they did. They accomplished all their purposes. They accomplished their plan, what they set out to do. History and the Bible bear witness. I turn now to Psalm 106, verse 27. Psalm 106, 27. Listen. To overthrow their seed also among the nations, and to scatter them in the lands. That was one of the objections. Why? To scatter them about in the lands of the Gentiles, and even in Africa itself, which the Gentiles, land which the Gentiles took control of and took as their own after they defeated the black people. Okay. Scattering, overthrowing. And here in Psalm 106, verses 41 through 42, they that hated them ruled over them. When you think of the era of the enslavement, and you think of the Gentiles and black people, isn't that true? Isn't that what happened? They, the Gentiles, that hated the blacks that they turned slaves, ruled over them. The haters ruled over the ones they conquered, subdued, the ones they hated. Their enemies also oppressed them. Now, this being the black people's enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their, the Gentiles, hand. That's recorded. That's recorded history. Okay. And it has to do with the Gentile conquest, scattering, dehumanization, etc., of black people. Okay, now, so the Gentiles carried out their plan. They carried out the conspiracy. Furthermore, the Gentiles conspired to give the slaves an unsound and false belief or faith. Let me read that again. Furthermore, the Gentiles conspired to give the slaves, the black captives, an unsound and false belief or faith, a faith which they, the Gentiles, would allow the blacks to hold even after emancipation. So the question to black people, where did your faith, where did your Christian faith come from? I just read it. The black people's Christian faith is traced back to the black people's conquerors, slaveholders, wardens. The black people's Christian faith is born of a conspiracy of evil intent. The black people's Christian faith originates from a conspiracy of evil intent designed and delivered to them, the black people, by their, the black people's conquerors, slaveholders, and wardens. It is clear that the Gentile outward teaching, preaching, etc., of the fictitious character Jesus is but a gimmick. What is a gimmick? A gimmick is a deceptive or secret device. To you, black people, are you following a gimmick? Are you following the teaching of Jesus that was delivered to your forebears during the time of enslavement and captivity? Are any of your people following the gimmick, the so-called Christian belief, Christian faith, which is found to be but a gimmick? The gimmick is against you, black people. The teaching, preaching of Jesus as Lord, Savior, and a real person is an immoral act. Definition of immoral here is wicked. The teaching, preaching, etc. of Jesus as Lord, Savior, and as a real person is a wicked thing. It is an immoral thing. It is pure wickedness. If a man is known by the company he keeps, your Christian faith, white people, is also known by the company it keeps. Your Christian faith is in the company of these words: deceit, joke, foolishness, folly, wickedness, immorality, vain, hypocrisy, lies, fraud, to name a few. So, the black people's faith, the black people's Christian faith, that is, goes back to their, is traced back to their conquerors, who conspired to give them an unsound and untrue or false belief, a false hope. The Gentiles told the slaves that, one, Jesus would come and would save them from all their troubles. That was many, many years ago. Black people still look for that Savior to come. Black preachers now even preach the lie. Black preachers are, black people have been taken by the deception. Black preachers have taken up the immoral act of teaching that unsound, untrue, and false belief that the slave holders and wardens of the slaves gave to them, the slaves, many, many years ago. Why? Why do so many blacks still hold to that teaching? When you have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Authorized Version Bible, all showing that the character Jesus is a criminal, one who goes about breaking laws repeatedly, consistently, and deliberately. Can black people read? You jump up quick. You quickly say, yes, I can read. Yes, black people can read. Can they read? I know you may can read a book, Mary Had a Little Lamb, or any other fictitious book, or a real book, or, you know, for that matter. Why don't you read when it comes to the Bible? As I said, four books show a man and his band of men going about committing unlawful acts. And they are approached to and warned or questioned by the authorities in the story of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you have all this information in the Old Testament before you get to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John saying, whosoever doeth any work on the Sabbath shall surely be put to death. And along comes one in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John who waits for the Sabbath to do his work. That's a violation of the law of the Sabbath, a violation of the law of the Sabbath. Now, the law of the Sabbath, let me say, is not for real life. The law of the Sabbath in the Authorized Version Bible is a law for Bible characters only. That's all. It's not a law to be put into practice in real life. It is strictly and solely for Bible characters. And in particular, it's for Jesus and his band of men. And guess what? The last law or the last commandment in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that is, says this. Remember ye the law of Moses. The law of the Sabbath is a law given by the character Moses in the book of Exodus. Let me read the law of the Sabbath. Let me finish this first. This remember ye the law of Moses is in the last book of the Old Testament, almost approaching the last verse in the Old Testament. It's verse 4 of chapter 4 of Malachi, which has only 6 verses. So 3 verses from the end of the Old Testament, you have a commandment. Last commandment in the Old Testament then. Now when you turn the page and enter into the New Testament, what we call the New Testament, do not forget the law of Moses. and the most famous and familiar of those of the law of Moses is the law of the Sabbath. And that's the one which Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John consistently show Jesus breaking. Now, he broke more laws than the law of the Sabbath. But the law of the Sabbath is really pointed out. His breaking the law of the Sabbath is really pointed out. Okay? And emphasized, you could say. Now, the first mention of the law of the Sabbath is Exodus 20. And it comes in at verse 8. Begins with verse 8, Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. That's the law of the Sabbath. Now, we can turn to Exodus 31:14. Exodus 31:14 says, "Ye shall keep the Sabbath, therefore, for it is holy to you. Everyone listen, everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. But whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among its people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whosoever doeth any work in the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." I mean, that's very clear. Very clear. Let's see what Exodus 35:2 says. Since I have it written here. Okay, Exodus 35:2, 6 days shall work be done, but on the seventh day there shall be to you an holy day, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. Whosoever doeth work therein shall be put to death. And you have, as I said, in Malachi 4:4, remember, as you are about to enter the New Testament, remember the law of the Sabbath. It is written, remember ye the law of Moses. And why? And there in the beginning of the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you have this guy, Jesus, this character, breaking the law of the Sabbath. And you have been told to remember the law of the law of Moses. And you've been told that no work should be done on the Sabbath. Whosoever do any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Isn't that what the authorities finally did after capturing Jesus? Then they put him to death. Yes, they did. Why? Because he was a sinner. A sinner breaks commandments. Okay? He breaks the law. Sin is the king of the law. Sin is the transgression of the law. Sin is the breaking of the law. The character Jesus broke the law. He was eventually caught, and the sentence, the penalty was carried out against him or upon him. The penalty of death. To break the law of the Sabbath called for the death penalty. Okay? Now, that's a story. the story of Jesus, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Jesus is not a real character. The Bible doesn't try to make him a real character. Okay? But it shows that what the moral of the lesson, the moral of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is be obedient. Do not be a lawbreaker. Do not be a criminal. Do not be a sinner. Because, as it says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's what it was for Jesus. The wages of sin was death to the character, Jesus. He sinned and he suffered the penalty. And that penalty was death. It's a fictitious story that teaches a moral lesson. Be obedient. Obey the law. Isn't that something? That's the moral of the story of Jesus. Be obedient. Obey the law. And if you be a sinner or one who breaks the law, and the authorities catch you, you are subject to what? To the penalty. How long will it take black people to get this, that the Gentiles' teaching of Jesus, even now, is no more than a gimmick? It's a gimmick. Just because they do it, they teach it, and they say it, that does not make it right. You've got a book here. You've got a book here called the Bible. That tells the story. You can read it and you can see if the Gentiles are lying or if they are telling the truth. Slaves could not read. You say you can read. Well, show it. Show it. Show it. Because no one who can read the Bible will read it and come out and say that Jesus was a real character and that he was a righteous character, righteous person. He was not a righteous person and he was not a real person, but a fictitious character and a story that teaches a moral lesson. When will we get it? When will you get it? When will you get it for your people? And help turn your people around. Help turn your people from following a gimmick of the Gentiles that began from days of enslavement and captivity. A faith based upon lies. A faith that is a gimmick. A faith, a teaching, whose teachers are no more than frauds. They are fraudulent individuals, deceitful individuals, lying individuals. It's time we get it right. It's time we get it right. It's time we speak. Oh, the Gentiles deceived us. And you have statements in the Bible like this that puts down religion, puts down the Christian faith. From the prophet to the priest, they're all, liars. I'm not quoting the passage, but the meaning. From the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. That's what the statement did. Those who preach, it says all of them, everyone, that's what it says, everyone deals falsely. Now, you're going to try to justify your preacher? Are you going to let your preacher try to justify himself? When the scripture has said every one of them deals deceitfully and deals falsely. everyone. That means your preacher. That's what that means. If he preaches Jesus, Lord and Savior, a real character, coming back again, he teaches a gimmick. He teaches falsehoods. He teaches lies. From the prophet to the priest, everyone deals falsely. Now, you think the Gentiles don't know that? Yes, they know that. Yes, they know that. That's why it's a gimmick. A gimmick designed by them, by their forefathers, which they perpetuate. They keep it going, the Gentiles do. Now, the Gentiles don't care whether you realize the truth about their teaching of Jesus or not. They don't care. Why are black people afraid of Gentiles? Why, to this very day? Why? 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 Black people, why do black people not believe a black man who shows them truth of Bible content, gives them much evidence in support of what he teaches, what he believes, what he stands for, what he wants them to know and to do? And just because these white people have not heard a Gentile say it, they dismiss it, they disregard it, they pass over it. There's a statement here that I want to read. If I can turn to it. Let's see here. Listen. Listen. Since emancipation, and I speak of black people worldwide, it is apparent that the black mind has not matured to any discernible level of maturity and responsibility. Total disregard for truth is a sure sign of immaturity. To hold a belief or faith that is clearly shown to be fictitious and facetious is a sure sign of immaturity. Now listen at this right here. To disregard and show disrespect to a black man, one the Bible clearly upholds, exalts, and speaks well of from beginning to end, is most certainly a sure sign of gross immaturity. From the evidence, it is clear the black man is still in a state of immaturity. The black mind persists in gross immaturity and is therefore irresponsible. It causes, as a result, the people are irresponsible. Mm-hmm. That's really something. And guess what? The Gentiles have given to black people no evidence to support their gimmick when they say Jesus is a real character, and when they say Jesus is a righteous character. They don't give any evidence to support it. They just say it. The Bible, clearly Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are against it. It doesn't take a genius to see that. You're going to believe this party, this group, when what they say is clearly against what the book portrays. Is that a mature mind? Is that evidence of a mature mind? No, it's not. No, it's not. It's not at all. Uh, A child cannot discern, or a little child cannot discern between right and wrong, or good and evil. Black people worldwide have been freed for some time now. They have been allowed to and able to read for some time. Here in America, black people have been allowed to read for 140-something years. 140-something years. That's a long time. That's time enough to learn how to read. That's time enough to read Exodus, or read the Old Testament, and to read the New Testament, and see if one is obeying the law or disobeying the law. 140-something years is time enough to see if the Gentiles have told us right things or if they have told us wrong things when it comes to things concerning Bible content. 140-something years. It's time enough. It's time enough to tell if they lied to us or told us the truth. What are we? This writing says, since emancipation, it is apparent that the black mind has not matured to any discernible level of maturity and responsibility. Wow, what a statement. What a statement. I am glad I can read. And when I began to read and to see that, wow, the Bible is a law book, or that this law right here, and there is no evidence in the Bible that the law of the Sabbath was ever canceled. You can't find that in the Bible. But you are told in the last book, Malachi, of the Old Testament, that as you turn the page and enter into the New Testament, do not forget the law of Moses. I mean, how clear can you be? The Bible has not deceived black people in this regard. But the Gentiles have. But now, after 140-something years, and black people are still deceived by what they were only told by the Gentiles, and you have a whole book, or you have, say you have the law of Moses, the law of the Sabbath, and you have it, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's all you need in order to determine if Jesus was a righteous character or an unrighteous character. Unrighteous meaning one who breaks the law. Righteous meaning one who keeps the law and obeys the law. I say again, 140-something years. In 140 years, what have the black preachers been doing but fooling black people? You're talking about ignorance. I mean gross ignorance, gross not caring, gross not giving up. You're talking about deceitful. You're talking about cunning. You're talking about slicksters, con artists, the preacher, the black preacher. The black preacher is a pitiful something that will stand up or sit down and lie to his people like he does. And what are the people that they let him do so? I mean, people, it's time. This time we get it right. Will we get it? Will you get it right? Will you get it right? As an immature child, truth means nothing to you. Your people, black people, being this means nothing to you. Another thing, not caring. Not caring about your own. The Bible tells the Gentiles, be ye not deceived. Don't you be deceived, but the unrighteous law, let me tell you this about the Bible. In the Bible, there is good and there is evil. Okay? Good and evil. I separate the good from the evil. I separate the facts from fiction. I separate truth from fiction. When will we get it right? We don't have much time. If we don't get it right now, then I don't know when we'd be. Now is the time to get this thing right. Realize we as a people have been deceived and turned to God and His truth for deliverance from our deception or from the deception that was forced upon slaves. But now black people freely and wholeheartedly accept and embrace without question. They don't question the slave wardens. They don't question what the wardens gave them. That's a shame. That's a shame. And it cannot be justified. 147 years old in America, and we were freed in England before we were freed over here in America. And of course, the other nations are states of the Gentiles, wherever they are, Europe and elsewhere. We've been freed, maybe not 200 or 300 years, but we've been freed a long time. We've been freed enough for our minds to have developed more than what it has or they have. A mature mind wants truth. A mature mind, when truth is put forth to him, is able to discern that, hey, this is it. This is it. This is truth. We have the evidence and everything. It's all here. This is truth. Because we are intelligent and we can read and we can weigh the matter. Whereas the Gentiles gave us no evidence for what they taught us. This man gives much evidence for what he said. A mature mind. A mature mind is a mind that loves truth and will not turn away from the fight truth, but will join in the battle for truth and for the survival of truth and the maintenance of truth and the continuance of truth, perpetuation of truth. Mature mind. If the Gentiles can be, are those who are, who want to perpetuate a lie that is unfounded and unsupported. That's why they don't give any evidence. They can't give any evidence in support of their lie. They can tell lies about it. Okay. The Bible is the authority on Jesus. And what is the authoritative Bible? The authorized version, commonly called King James. They gave it a proper and befitting name, authorized version, that put forth by authority. So if you want to know what the authority is, look for the name. Look for the one with authority in the name, the authorized version. The Gentiles made it very clear for themselves. In the midst of all these translations, Bible for born and man, this kind of Bible and that kind of Bible, the authorized version is still here. Because in it, it is written, the truth of the Lord endures forever, and the truth of the Lord is in the authorized version of the Bible. The truth concerning the Lord, the truth about the Lord, that truth is in the authorized version of the Bible. And that law said, that truth endures forever. It shall not be done away with. So the authorized version of the Bible will be here. Because the Gentiles are keepers of that law. They may make other versions or whatever, but they still keep the authorized version. They do not destroy it. It's time we get it right. It's time we love ourselves. It's time we love ourselves. There is no beauty in defeat. There is no beauty in lying. I spoke about the lying black preachers, and that's what they are. They are liars. Outright liars. It's outrageous. It is outrageous. But the people let them do so. It's crazy. It's crazy. And yet you have the people going about saying, I read the Bible when I don't understand it. These are people who go to church. And here are the lying preachers. And here are the lying preachers. Preachers that don't give any understanding of Bible content. Nothing to where the people can say, wow, I really understand the Bible. When you hear somebody say that lately, I really understand the Bible. I am so glad I understand the Bible. I now understand the Bible. If they say they understand the Bible and love Jesus, they lie. You know right away they lie. They deceive. So what's my point in this message? My point was to show the conspirators, what they planned and plotted and conspired to do, what they actually did. They did that which they conspired. And black people should be wanting to know this information. The Bible says those that hated them ruled over them. That's a statement that tells it just like it is. They, the Gentiles, that hated the blacks ruled over the black people. They oppressed them. Was to show the conspirators, who are the Gentiles, all the Gentile nations, all the Gentile people, irregardless of their religious, political, social affiliation, came together and plotted against the black people. And, of course, I pointed out the conspiracy. Then I spoke about the belief, black people's Christian belief, which is a farce, a joke, a gimmick that's been handed down from generation to generation. Black people have inherited gimmick. They have inherited the lie. They inherited the lie about Jesus. The Bible didn't lie to them. The slaveholders and wardens lied to them, lied to their forebears, their ancestors, and blacks have inherited the folly. Where did the folly come from? The foolishness, the foolish teaching, the unsound, untruthful teaching. Where did it come from? Yes, it originated from the slaveholders and the wards of the slaves. And it has descended from generation to generation from the days of slavery. They inherit folly. That's a passage in the Bible. Folly. What is folly? Foolishness. That's really something. The black people's Christian faith is nothing but foolish. That's really something. So I pointed out the conspirators, I pointed out the conspiracy, I pointed out the fact that the black people's faith is just what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14. It's a vain thing. It's worthless. It's worthless. It's a lie. Black people's Christian faith. How long will black people hold to it? How long will they hold to a gimmick of their slaveholders? How long? How long will it be before their mind is mature enough to embrace truth, love truth, support truth, stand with truth? How long would it take? How long? Okay. In closing, let me say this. I have a couple of scriptures here. Proverbs 14:15 says, "The simple believe every word." What does that mean? Many people hear me speak truth. They don't believe every word I teach. But they believe every word that has come from the slave master, from the wardens of the slaves. Every unsound and lying word they believe. Jesus died for your sin. Jesus is coming back again. The simple believe those. Jesus loves you. The simple beliefs of and Jesus is a fictitious character. Okay? The simple believe that every word. The simple inherit folly. Proverbs 14:18. The simple inherit folly. This generation of black people, my generation, has inherited folly from my parents, and my parents inherited folly, foolishness, the black people's Christian faith from their parents, and, from days of slavery. It goes on back. From the slave master, the slave ward, it goes on back. My children, I want to give them the truth. I want to give them the truth about God. The simple inherit folly. What is folly? Folly is a lack of understanding. That folly is foolishness. Okay. simpleton. Definition: a person who is stupid or easily deceived. A fool. What is a fool? A person with little or no judgment, common sense. A silly or stupid person. What are we? What are you? What are we? And what are dupe, a person easily tricked or fooled. Jeremiah 28:15. I'm going to read that in closing. 28:15. Thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Okay, that started back as I showed you from the days of enslavement, starting with the Gentiles and their conspiracy to deal the black people and unsound and untruthful faith teaching. Okay. Thou makest this people to trust in a lie. Black people have taken up on that foolishness, taken up the gimmick, and they preach the gimmick to their own people now. Okay, and I see that Jeremiah 23:32. That was 27, okay, that was 28:15. We have Jeremiah 27:14. They prophesy a lie to you. And here, the definition for prophesy, I give it, is teach. They teach a lie to you. The black preachers, that's exactly what they are doing to black people, teaching lies. Just as the slave masters and wardens and all taught the slaves, they taught lies. Jesus is coming. Jesus loves you. Jesus is a real person. This is that. All right, they teach a lie to you. Okay. Jeremiah 23:32. They cause my people to err by their lies. That's what the black people are doing today. Causing my people to err, to be wrong. By what? Their lies. What are their lies? Examples of their lies? Jesus loves you. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is Lord and Savior. Jesus is real. Okay? All right? They teach lies and cause my people to err. But that started a long time ago, during the days of plague. And it sprang from the Gentile. It sprang from a conspiracy of ill and evil intent coming from the Gentiles, the slave masters, the slave holders, the slave wardens, the keepers of the slaves. Right. So that's it. That's it for this program. Until the next time,